Well, good evening. So good to be back with you guys. I'm Travis. I'm the lead pastor here. Hi. Yeah. So for those of you who know, we just got back in on a plane about 30 minutes ago. And our team is still on the ground, and I'm going to share some stories tonight about our training school, and they're just doing a great job, and we've been having a wonderful time, and it's appropriate as we're coming out of a little mini in the midst of a little mini series on worship that we would end it tonight with the glory of God in the nations of the earth. And as I was just thinking about it, I actually just on the plane ride, had a lot of time on the plane ride back over, and I was just thinking about having just been in the nations of the earth, and then and just dwelling on God and who He is, and the grandeur of who He is, and thinking about how as a church God had led us to spend a few weeks on worship. That that God would in this place tonight just want to broaden our horizon so much more to a degree of His greatness that maybe we don't daily think of, but just about the glory of God in the nations and what does it look like for God to be supremely worshipped. And not just in a kind of egocentric or ethnocentric kind of way, but with a worldview that just sees God as a supreme ruler over the earth, over the nations of the earth, and so we get to talk about that tonight. Also, in the midst of what we as a church are getting to be a part of in the nations through those that we have sent over there, particularly the training school at this time. And so what I want us to do is we're going to be going through a lot of scripture tonight. It's beginning in Genesis, and I feel like God is just wanting to take us through a story of His glory, in this earth and in the nations of the earth. And so turn with me first of all to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And I'm going to read that. This is where God initiated with Abraham. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" And why I feel like God led us to this passage this evening is to see His heart from the very beginning. His heart from the very beginning when He made this covenant, this pact with Abraham, who is known as the father of the faith. He made this pact with Abraham saying, "I want to come and bless you." That was very different than all of the other gods of those of the day. In all the other gods, including the gods of the Roman times and a Greek mythology, it was that you had to please the gods, that you had to initiate with them, you had to do things and sacrifice or whatever that the gods demanded, and you sought out their approval, but not so with the God of all gods. With the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, He initiated with Abraham, and He says, "I want to bless you. I want to be a blessing to you." And He goes on and He says, "Not only do I want to bless you, but I'm going to bless all the peoples of the earth through you. Because you are so blessed, and people are going to see the way that I have blessed you, that the peoples of the earth, the nations of the earth will be blessed." That is the desire of God that we see from the very beginning, that the nations of the earth would be blessed, that they would come, that they would know Him. And of course, that promise is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, that all the nations of the earth, both those people in Israel that were the people of God, and then all peoples through the sacrifice of Jesus could know the blessing of God, the nearness of God. It was always on God's heart to be a blessing to all peoples in the nations of the earth. And so we read that throughout the Old Testament. And so I want to look real quick at Psalm, and we could pick 100 verses to talk through, but I want to read a portion of Psalm 96 for us to get a little bit of a taste of God's heart for the nation. So Psalm 96, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved, and he will judge the peoples with equity." And so we see a God who from the earliest of times rules over the nations, who this psalmist declared that the nations need bow down to him, for he is the ruler, for he is above all things. And so there is times where we love worship here, love the presence of God. We love it when Adam and the group of worship leaders lead us into God's presence. We value that. And that's a huge part of who we want to be. But what God wants to do is that he wants to expand our view of worship. Yes, we are worshiping God here, sitting in this room corporately and declaring who he is. But there is a worship of God that goes far beyond this room. I love getting to go to places like the Middle East where we've been the last couple of weeks. I love getting to go to those kinds of places and worship God. Just worship him in that land where in some of these places, you know that there are not a lot of people worshiping God. But you get to go in and just lift high the name of God over this nation. You get to sing, and you're singing because you're declaring the truths of who God is for yourself. You're just declaring it, but you're also declaring it over a people who have not yet heard. Over a people who do not yet know the goodness and the blessing of God. I remember the first time I got to spend some time overseas. I spent a summer in Turkey, in the nation of Turkey. And I had never been in a culture really overseas at all. I'd been to Mexico, and that's about it. And so this was a very different culture, an Arab Muslim culture. 99% Muslim, and I was living right downtown and getting to meet people, make friends, learn about what they believe, share with them about what I believed and about the love of God. And I remember, because I was in a city, and so there wasn't a lot of green space, but I was on this campus of Anadolu University one day, and they had a little green space. And I remember going there one morning to spend time with God and just read my Bible. And I came across in Romans where it talks about how even creation groans, how even creation wants to testify about who God is. And I was sitting here, and it was much smaller than this room even, but there was just some grass and some trees planted around. And I felt that in this land where God has not been worshiped, where there has not been a contingency of praise for who he is from this peoples, that I had the privilege of worshiping God in that land, of contending for the presence of God and the blessing of God for these people that have not known and have not heard. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to be like Abraham, to receive the blessing of God, to know the goodness of God, to know who he is as a father, and then to take that to peoples that do not know, to places where you can feel creation groaning that worship of God would take place. in this land. And so we've had a wonderful time. The guys on the team are going to be there a couple more weeks, but we've had a phenomenal opportunity to share broadly with people. One of the things that we were using as a catalyst for what we were doing was the parable, the story of the sower of the seeds. In that story that Jesus told, this farmer would grab seed out of his satchel, and he would just grab big handfuls and throw it out. And then you grab it out of the other satchel and throw out the seed. And that's why you find that there's four soils. And three of those soils are not very good. Some of it falls on rocky soil. Some of it falls in the thorn. Some of it falls on the path. And only some of it falls in fertile soil. But what it was a broad sowing. And so we've had the opportunity to do that. And been able to share with many people. In one of the places that we were even able to do some dramas on the street. They have what's called a corniche, which is right along the sea, and we were able to do dramas of a gospel presentation. And if you haven't ever seen the Lifehouse drama, you should look it up on YouTube. But that's the drama that that's what we were doing. And it just depicts the creation of God, the love of God for the one that he's created, and then how the enemy comes to steal from the joy and the hope that God gives, and then how God comes back in and fights for that person to have life. And some of our most powerful times came out of that. We had on the weekend nights, probably had 200 people every time that we would do it that would stop and circle around. And we got to, we would sing some songs to gather up people, and then people would gather around and see this drama. And then one of our Arabic-speaking friends would get up and share the truth of who Jesus is and describe what the drama was describing. And so out of that, we would then kind of spread through the crowd and get to talk with people. And we had Jesus films that we were able to show and say, hey, this is the full picture of the drama that you just saw. And people were hungry for it. And we gave out hundreds of these and had so many conversations and really just asking God to show us those that were hungry. And it was just, it's amazing to see the hunger that people have, the questions that people have about who is this Jesus. And one of the phenomenal things happening in that part of the world in our day is dreams. Are people having dreams of Jesus? And we got to meet some of those people, and you can go around and just ask people, have you ever had a dream of a man in white? And most people will either have had that dream or know somebody that does, and they want to know who that is. And so we had the opportunity to share with a couple of people about who that is that came and visited them in their dreams, because dreams are very significant in their culture. And so to describe to them, this is who came and visited to you. And it, they would consistently, what people describe is that there was hope, there was peace, and this man came and he rescued me in this dream. And so just powerful things of getting to declare it's Jesus. He is the one that loves you. He is the one that pursues you. And there's just people so hungry. A couple of the guys got to share. Some people only spoke Arabic. There's quite a few people that speak English, but there was a couple of guys. It was one of the first days that a couple of our guys were trying to communicate with, and it just wasn't happening. So they're like, "Well, we have a couple of tracks we can leave you," and they said, "Okay." And then we were doing a drama 2 or 3 days later, and they see these guys walking up, and we're in a large city. So pretty unbelievable that they saw them, but they were very excited. And so they pull a translator over and they're like, we read it all. And it was a very wordy track. And they're like, we've read it all and we want to know what to do next. And so we just were able to, and they're able to share with them what does it look like? And then just exciting things going on in that part of the world, not only where we were, but in that entire part of the world. God moving in unprecedented ways. And it made me think of Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 is one of my favorite passages, and it's describing a vision that the prophet Isaiah had when he was in the presence of God. And he says this in Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. I love this passage. I love it. It's a huge part of Isaiah's testimony. And he responded to it by saying, "God, judgment on me." He had been pronouncing judgments against all these other peoples that had done wrong things. But when he got in the presence of God, his next words were, "Woe to me. Judgment on me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." He was in the presence of God. And these angels were declaring to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And I love that statement, that the whole earth is full of his glory. There is no place that he is not. There is no place that he does not deserve glory and honor and praise. There is no place that is too dark, that is too far removed, that is too far lost. But God's glory is there. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And so again, I love going into these places and just worshiping and knowing that God is glorified in this place, and that we get to raise up a banner of praise, that we just get to exalt the name of Jesus and the goodness of God over a peoples. And it's powerful. At the sound of their voices, the temple shook. The threshold shook. There's something powerful about God and his glory. His glory fills the earth. Though we each have a personal journey with God, and that personal journey is radically important, that we would follow Jesus, that we in our hearts and with all of our minds would say, "I want to follow you, Jesus, because I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you have life for me." That journey is incredibly important. But in the midst of each of our journeys to God, we need to realize that we are a part of a major story of the glory of God. And so we want to come before God and say, let the book of my life be a story for your glory. Not let it be about my purposes and what I can do and I bring you into it simply, but let my life be an open book that is completely available for you to write your story of your glory in my life. That everything I do would be about seeing you glorified in every place that I go, every place that I step, every conversation that I enter into, that my life would be a story for your glory, God. I love being in the nations because you begin to see, wow, first of all, you can be very uncomfortable. Things are very unfamiliar. But then when you begin to tap into and ask God, "What are you doing? Who are you?" And that transcends every cross-cultural barrier. It transcends every language, every race, every tribe. It transcends it all, the love of God. And people wanting to know God because they are created to know him. And so your life, your story is very important. And what I felt like as I stepped in here this evening in the midst of you guys already worshiping, I pictured it like a waterfall. And your life and my life is like a single drop going over that waterfall. And we have a story. And we plunge down, we trust God, and we go with him. But that is not very powerful in and of itself. But when you have hundreds and thousands and millions of drops saying, let me be a story for your glory, then you have an amazing, powerful display of the glory of God. And so we want to open the book of our life and say, God, write your story on my life. God, let me be the drop of water that says, here I am, I will flow down the river and over the waterfall for a story of your glory, for a testimony of your goodness. Wherever it be, wherever you lead me, I'm in. I'm in. And I really believe that for each of us, there is an inheritance in the nations of the earth. Not all of us are called to live our lives over there, but I believe there's something about being in the nations of the earth where I know my eyes have been opened to see so much more beyond my world and what I've experienced and my culture and my understanding of God as a result of the limited things that I've seen. And so I love getting to go into these places and see God's heart for peoples that I'm not familiar with, that I don't know, with different languages, different cultures, different religions. But see God's heart remain the same. So good. We got to talk. We had a great time. There was 14 of us that got to set up a meeting with a sheikh in Islam is the kind of the leader of a mosque, so he's like a pastor, and this guy was the head sheikh of one of the mosques in the town where we were in, and we just had a fabulous time. First of all, I mean, they do it upright in serving you. So we had a round of water that was brought to us. Then we had a round of juices that were brought to us. Then a round of tea, and then a round of coffee. And so they treat you well, and everybody was needing to go to the bathroom, especially Crystal being pregnant. By the time we were leaving, but we got to just go in and in fact we had just asked can we have a tour of one of the mosques, and he instead invited us into his office. And he said, oh, I thought there was going to be three or four, and there's 14 of us, but he was glad. And so we came in and were just able to ask him questions. And he was a sweet, sweet man. Very, very tender and loving guy. And so he shared with us his story, and he got to answer some questions that we just asked him about his own life, his own journey into becoming a sheikh, and then some questions about Islam and some of the beliefs that he had, and so it was really powerful, I think, for our crew, because God was putting softening our hearts for these peoples, because this man was very tender, and it was there was in the way that he wanted to love God. In the way that he wanted to love people. And then to hear him share of his journey to where he got and some of the things that just didn't align with who God is, it's just heartbreaking. And for him particularly, there was just, in each one of us sensed it, this tenderness. And so as we actually got to pray we met with three men, and we got to pray for them at the end in his office, and three of us prayed, and just that God would come and really meet them, and then I got to share a prophetic word with him as we're ending. I felt really clearly that there was God gave me this picture of a rainbow, and I felt like there were some promises that God had for this guy's life. And I didn't have the specifics of what those were, but we went in there with a long-term worker who actually he had been wanting to meet this guy, and so it was a great opportunity for him to meet him. And this was the cool thing. So it didn't rain much while we were there. In fact, this might have been the only time that I can remember it raining. But as we're walking out, it's raining, and there's just a massive clap of thunder. And it's just loud. It was the only one. But right as we left, there was a massive clap of thunder. And then we get down out of his office, and there's this huge rainbow in the sky. And we were like, God, let it come. Whatever the promises are that you have, that you the ways that you want to show this man that you love him, that you are a father, that you are a God of love, just reveal yourself to this man. And that's a couple of the things that really break my heart. In Islam, they have 101 names for God, and of the 101 names, not one of them is Father or Love, which really for us in this room would characterize who we see God to be. He is a Father, and He is a God of love, and so we just pray that they would know this God who is a Father, and a God who loves them, and as we think about this again in the context of worship, God is jealous for His glory. He's jealous for worship. He's the only one that can be, because He is fully deserving of it. And so I love these promises, the rainbow in the sky, the clap of thunder, which was, again, it was just powerful for us. We're like, whoa. Because it was one of those loud ones, like, to startle you. And then it was just all done. And so we just, God being jealous, more than we have a heart to see this man or any others that we got to meet know the love of God, God desires for His name to be worshiped. He desires for people to know Him for who He is. And so one of the things that grips our hearts is that as we pray for these people that we're interacting with, that we get to see face to face, that we have conversations with, that we get to know their stories, then we are just flooded with intercession, with a desire to pray. A desire to pray for them. And as we pray for the nations, as we pray for God's glory throughout the earth, our heart begins to break for people. We want to love people. We want to share with people who God is. And so it's a beautiful cycle of, God, I want to be a part of this story to glorify your name in all the earth. And so it's just a privilege to be a part of it. And another quick story I wanted to share is we ran into a lot of Syrian refugees. You know, if you're following the news at all over the last couple of years, Syria has been in the mix of great conflict and a terrible civil war. There's millions of refugees scattered throughout the Middle East and beyond, and so they have lost everything. The people that have left, it's just gone. It's not like, oh, insurance or this or that. It's just gone. And so we had the opportunity just to pray for them. Most of them did not speak English. So just getting to pray for them, find ways to love them. And our guys did a great job. There's a lot of kids from Syria that are begging or that are doing shoe shining or that are selling these little flowers. And when we were down on the corniche, they would come out there almost every night. At the beginning, you know, they were just trying to get money because we're Westerners, and so they're trying to sell stuff or do things. But by the end of that first night and then every other night afterwards, they just came in and they were dancing around and had joy, and they loved the drama. After the drama, they started passing out the tracks and stuff, and so they were, like, getting up there in the middle of it, it was just a fun to bring the joy of the Lord into people's lives. There was another guy who actually was an English literature major, but he had no English books. They had all gotten destroyed. And so Miles was able to give him his Bible, and so that's the only English literature that he has at this point. And he's really actually they're trying to meet back up because he wanted to know more about it. And so that's one of the things that we were doing a lot is meeting back up with people and taking them through just stories of who Jesus is, so they can get to know who Jesus is and what it looks like to follow him. And what we see in Revelation, I want to turn to Revelation. I told you we're going to go from the beginning to end, and then I'm actually going to hop back to Matthew in a second. But when we're talking about the worship of God in the nations of the earth, this is a passage that really begins to tie it all together. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. John, the apostle John, is having this vision of heaven. And he says, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" And this is a picture of the worship that we're talking about. Goes way beyond an egocentric worship where I am worshiping God, or an ethnocentric worship where we are worshiping God, but some kind of theocentric, Christocentric worship of God. And that it would be so grand in its scope that God would be so jealous in his nature that he would long for people from every tribe, from every tongue, from every language, from every nation, from every remote village people to be worshiping him, that represented before the throne of God in heaven would be people from every nations of the earth. And there are thousands of nations in this earth, of people groups, of ethnos is how this would be translated. So not just a country, but people groups. There are countries like India that have thousands of people groups that speak different languages, different tribes, and God's jealous for each of them to be represented before his throne, that they would sing of his goodness and his glory. And there are thousands of these people groups who have never heard the name of Jesus, who have no representative before the throne room, before the throne of God. And so it is a joy to be a part of God's story in seeing his glory reach the nations of the earth. It's part of who we want to be as a church. Whatever your role is in that, know that you have a role. That there is a role. Matthew 24, 14. Jesus says this when he's describing what it will look like in the end days. It says, "And this gospel," this good news of who Jesus is, "this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Again, it is this heart of Jesus that all peoples would hear. And that there would be peoples from all nations, all tribes, all tongues that would respond to the message of Jesus, to the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And before the end will come, before God comes again, that will be the case. And so we take the book of our life and we just say, "God, come. Won't you write a story out of my life for your glory?" And the fun thing is that we get caught up in a bigger story. If you've experienced the Christian life to be boring, you have not experienced a life following after God. It's not boring. There is a story for his glory that he wants to catch you up into that is so much bigger, so much greater than anything you could ever put your sights on, anything you could ever run after and pursue with all of your energy, with all of your mind, and it would never compare with the story that God wants to catch you up into. Of knowing him, of knowing his love for people, of being able to have these kind of stories, just these simple stories of a couple of weeks of people are just going in, not knowing what they're doing, not knowing the language, and just saying, "Hey, here's a track," and these guys coming back and saying, "We read it, what are we supposed to do next?" And we just get to be a small piece saying, yes, God, there are so people that are hungry and we just want to be a part of it, of what you're doing. Isaiah 26, verse 8 says, yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws or walking in the ways of your truth, we wait for you. For your name and your renown are the desires of our hearts. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth. So yes, God, here I am. And I want to be walking in this life in the ways of your truth. I want to be following you. And as I do that, I'm waiting on you. I'm not choosing my own direction, running, forging my own path. I'm waiting on you and saying, God, where are you leading me? Where are you taking me? Because that's where I want to go. And I'm doing this because your name and your renown, your fame, your glory are the desires of my heart. So that's one of the prayers that we're going to just pray tonight. God, let your name and your renown be the desire of my heart. We've got a lot of desires in our lives, but we need the desire to be for the glory of God, that his name, the name of Jesus, and the gospel going forth to the glory of God, to be the desire of our hearts. And it becomes the desire of our hearts because we experience him. We experience, as Abraham did, like we talked about at the beginning, the blessing of God, that he is good, like he is like no other, that he pursues us with love. He pursues your life. The raindrop, the water drop of your life, he pursues you and then brings you into the story of his waterfall. The last verse I want to read is Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I gave him the wrong verse. It's Romans 12, verse 1. I had a Hebrews written down here too. So turn to Romans 12. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so this answers the question, okay, what do I do? What do I do? I can't fly to the Middle East tomorrow and join the team. I mean, it sounds like fun to some of you guys. For some of you, maybe that's terrifying. But that's not the answer anyway. But this is the answer. What do I do with this message of wanting to be a part of God's story? Of wanting my life to be an open book for him to write in? Paul says in Romans 12, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. To just say, God, here I am. I trust you. I trust you. Let the offering of my trust be a sacrifice that's pleasing to you. And so I offer it to you. And let it be holy and pleasing to you, God. For this is my spiritual act of worship. This is the daily, continual worship is saying, God, you are trustworthy today. You are good today. And so I come to you this morning and say to you, as I get out of my bed, as I rise on this day, that God, I worship you by saying, here's my life. Again today, I know I have selfish desires. I know I have things I need to do, but I just am saying, here's my life, God. Continually transform my mind. Continually make me to look and think more like you, that you might receive more worship through my life, that I might be the raindrop that adds to the glory of God in all the earth. So Lord, you above everything are worthy of worship. You are worthy of worship. worshiping, declaring that there is no one like you, declaring that you are God, declaring that you are trustworthy, declaring that you are worth following, worshiping you, declaring truths about who you are, declaring truths of how you've revealed yourself in our lives, and just saying, thank you, God. Lord, I pray that we would be worshipers, that we would increase in our individual worship of you, that as we walk down the street, so we just find ourselves thanking you and praising you for how good you are, that you would increase our worship as a church, that when we gather together, that we would just have an amazing time glorifying you, singing praises to you, offering our lives to you, and that you would catch us up into this story. You know, that's probably what people love most about the movies. They love just getting to get this 2 or 3 hour chunk and get out of their world and get caught up into this story. I've been in movies where I get in there and I'm so pumped and I come out, I'm like, yes, I wanna fight, I wanna conquer, I wanna win, you know, or whatever, or movies that are dramatic and you're just walking out and you're somber and you're thinking and you're caught up into this story. But there is an invitation for us that is greater than any movie that has ever been produced. And it's the story of God and his plan to redeem lost and broken people back to himself. And we don't have to just walk out of a movie and say, oh, I want to fight like that superhero. But we have an opportunity to fight against injustice, to fight against poverty, to fight against abuse, to love with a pure love that says, I want to rescue, I want to love with the Father heart of God. I want people to know that they matter, that they are worth something. And we get caught up in that story, and there is nothing like it. So as we respond to God, we want to take Isaiah 26:8 and say, God, we want the desire of our heart to be your name and your renown. And we want to take Romans 12:1 and say, God, we offer ourselves to you like a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. Let this be our spiritual act of worship. God, we love you. You are exalted in all the nations of the earth. The whole earth is filled with your glory, God. With your glory, no matter what we think, no matter how limited our perspective is, it does not change that the whole earth is filled with your glory. And there are people of every tribe, tongue, and nation that are hungering for the truth of who you are, that are longing for a father to love them like only you can, that are longing for affirmation, for peace in the midst of conflict, for hope in the midst of hopelessness. And God, we just say we want to give it to them. And we want to worship you. We want to be a blessing to all peoples of this earth because we have been so blessed by you. So let us not leave here tonight without saying to God, here I am. Without just confessing to him where we are in the process of saying, here I am. And asking him to take us a step closer. That our lives might be a book. And that in that book there will be a story of such elegance, not perfection, but of such beauty that it would glorify Jesus. So let's stand and let's respond together as the band leads us. As always, the front is open. You can come, you can kneel. Just don't leave here without responding to what God is stirring in your heart.